grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our meditation this morning is recorded in the book of the prophet Isaiah. We read in chapter 55, the 10th and the 11th verses. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the living word of God, dear friends, take away moisture, and what do you have? You have desolation. I was reminded of that once again as we spent much of last week in the desert southwest, where there was rain and snow up in the mountains, where there was irrigation in the upper desert plains, then things were green and the land was fruitful. But where there was no water, there was only dust and desolation and lifelessness. The earth cannot produce anything by itself. God must water it. God, with his rain and his snow, is what gives life, is what enables the earth to bear its seed and its food. The prophet Isaiah, or God through the prophet Isaiah, reminds us this morning that the very same thing is true of God's word. Where God gives his word, there is life. There is fruitfulness. Where the word of God is not, there is only desolation. There is only death. There is only fruitlessness. The word of God tells us through the writer of Psalm 1 that we Christians are like trees planted by streams of water. And because of those streams of water, we are able to bear fruit in its season. The psalm writer is speaking, of course, about the effect that the Word of God has on us. With God's Word, we have life and we bear fruit. Without God's Word, we are desolate, lifeless, and fruitless. The word is never devoid of results. That's true in nature, and it's true in our hearts. God sends the rain and the snow, and it brings the results he desires. God gives us his word, and in us it accomplishes his purposes for us. We need, as really we always do, is look at the context of the words of our text to help us better understand. So we look to the verse right before verse 10, verse 9, a verse that is familiar, I think, to all of us. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." What is God saying to us before he tells us the guarantee of the power of God's word? He tells us that we cannot look into his mind. directly. We really can't know what God's will is in many things, or what His will is not for us. And it really is a vain effort to try to discern what God might have in mind. One of the reasons that's impossible is because we always look at our attendant circumstances through the subjective eyes of our own interpretation and understanding. And you know as well as I do that when we do that, we become confused, at least, and draw wrong conclusions about God and the things in our lives at the worst. And so among these uncertainties, God says you have the Word of God. You have that thing that I have revealed to you, my Word that says what it means and means what it says plainly and simply. It does not change. It is always the same. Luther observed that whether or not we understand the ways of the Lord, particularly thinking that we don't understand the ways of the Lord, there is that objective Word of God. There are many practical examples of that in life. We can think of things that have happened to us this last week that we don't understand. We get confused or maybe have drawn some wrong conclusions looking at them through our subjective eyes. Maybe some of you know about the pregnant mother who, along with her three small children, were killed in a car crash in southern Illinois last week. She is was a member of one of our congregations. Please pray for that husband and father who is left behind. Please pray for his pastors who will be working with him and the other family members and friends. But the lesson is that there is no earthly explanation about why that should happen. A mother taking her young children to vacation Bible school, and suddenly she and her unborn baby and her three children are dead. The lesson also is treasure your family members. Don't take them for granted. The lesson is that life can change in an instant. And life can end in an instant. But among all those uncertainties, among all those unknowns, about all that, in the midst of all that need for comfort and for hope, there is the Word of God. The Word that accomplishes God's purposes for us as Christians. Those purposes include the very fact that it was God's purpose to call us to be Christians. You and I are still Christians because of God's will, in spite of all of our sins, in spite of all of our doubts, in spite of all the crosses that God has placed on our lives. In the midst of all those, that solid, sure, clear Word of God gives us comfort, and it gives us hope, and it strengthens our faith, and it enables us to endure and to bear up under the very heaviest crosses that might come to us in our lives. The Word of God tells us about God's ways and our vain attempts to try to understand His ways. Because as far as heaven itself is above the earth, so beyond our understanding are the ways of God. But in our mouths and in our hearts, very near us, is the Word of God. That Word that does all of those things for our faith and for our lives. God makes that comparison between the rain and the snow that waters the earth so it will accomplish His purposes with the Word of God that will accomplish His purposes for us. The purpose of rain and snow and moisture is so that the earth will produce crops. Where there is no rain, there are no crops. There's only desolation. Maybe as you're driving around the rest of the summer or this fall, make note of the fields on the sides of the road where you drive. We noticed it in the 3,200 miles that we spent in the car last week. Field after field of corn and beans and wheat and all other kinds of fruitfulness that are there because it rained and because there's snow in the mountains. Next time you go to the farmer's market, just notice all of the fruit of the earth that is there in all of those booths, from plants to meat to flowers to all other kinds of things that have grown. The earth did not by itself produce one single thing that is there by itself. The earth, the ground, can take no glory in all of the fruits that it bears. To God be the glory. God who sends the rain and sends the snow so that the earth that He created, even though now in sin, will continue to bear those abundant fruits. The Word of God is never devoid of results. And that's true when God says, let it rain, or let it snow, or let the earth bud or bloom and bud and produce fruits. The same is true, God says, so it is with the word that goes out of my mouth. It will not come back to me empty, but will accomplish the reason I sent it, achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The purpose for which God has sent His Word is to reveal your Savior, Jesus Christ. It is to create in your heart, as a means of grace, a saving trust in Jesus alone and what He did for you and for me on the cross. The purpose of Christ, of the Word, is to keep you in faith, to preserve and protect your faith to the day that you must face it, death, or the day in which the Lord Jesus will return in judgment. The purpose of the Lord with the Word is to not have the crosses, the burdens that we must bear in this life, under the guilt of our own foolishness when we sin against God and go our own way, or the burdens that we must bear in life because of the sins of others, or just because we live in a sinful world. God's purpose is to enable us to stand up under them, to endure them, to use them for our good. God's Word is a means of grace that gives us the forgiveness of sins that Jesus earned for us on the cross. God's Word enables us to bear our crosses. No pastor ever tries to explain to someone a tragic death by sharing them their own ideas or opinions about why this happened. Because on this side of heaven, there is no explanation why it happened. And so we and you point them to the Word of God. Point them to the love of God in Christ. Point them to the fact that God uses all things for our good. Even when we may not see that at the moment, the Holy Spirit is powerful, working in our hearts. Listen again to Luther as he wrote, quote, "The building and promotion of the church is not the result of our works, but of the Word of God which we preach. For it has and is able to do all that God is and can do." Unquote. The growth of the church, the preservation of the church, the deliverance of the church are not things for which we, the church, can glory in ourselves, because we could not do it by ourselves. We have to do it by the power of the Word that comes into our hearts, that creates a new heart, that creates that heart of faith in us. God's will is that His kingdom come and that His will be done among us. And those things are accomplished only through the Word of God. I learned the lessons very practically of this text when I first got out into the ministry, and we lived among the German-Russian wheat farmers on the central plateau of Washington State. And every spring, they'd go out and they'd sow their seed, and then they'd sit in their shed working on their equipment, waiting for it to rain, waiting for it to snow. And if it rained and it snowed, then at harvest time in the fall, late summer, there would be rows and rows of combines cutting the wheat that God grew on the earth. Where there was no water, if there was no water, there was no wheat. But when God sent His rain and His moisture, there was that abundant crop. In my ministry, and I'm sure I will continue to see that as you have, when the Word of God is preached, it works repentance. I have seen the Word of God, and you have seen the Word of God bring people to faith. You have seen it strengthen people in faith. It brought you to faith. It strengthened your faith. I have seen the Word of God bring people through in their faith under the most severe trials in their lives. Perhaps the Word of God has done that in your life. They teach us that one of the proofs that the Bible is God's Word is that it works. You and I have seen it work. You and I have experienced it working in our own lives as it has accomplished the purpose that God has for us. His purpose for us is that today we're still Christians, just like yesterday. God accomplishes His purposes with the Word and brings success to the Word. The Apostle Paul recognized that our sufficiency in the kingdom of God is not of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And God has revealed for our power that Word. Our chancel window reminds us every week with Latin letters that represent, in English, the Word of God remains forever. VDMA. And that doesn't mean just in duration. It means the Word of God remains forever in that it doesn't change, that it never diminishes in its power, that the purpose for which God sent it, the purpose for which He has sent the living Word, Christ Jesus has not changed. It remains the same for us and for future generations. In the midst of all the subjective lens looking that we try to do to no avail, turn instead to that objective word of God that's in your mouth and in your heart. Because there is the power to give comfort and hope. There is the power to give strength to bear, humanly speaking, the most horrendous things that could happen to us in this life. The Word of God is never devoid of results. The results are always God's good and gracious will for us sinners, whom God loves so much that He did not spare His one and only Son, who redeemed us, and then He called us to be His children. Amen.